Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. It is now time for a very Bethesda Showcase edition, I guess at Microsoft, of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we normally tell you which games to play on Game Pass. See, I'm never going to get it right again because it's now not the normal one. Normally on the show, we talk about Game Pass games. We tell you which ones that you should play, which ones you should pass on to your friends, pass on by, whatever. It doesn't matter if I get the intro right because that's not what we're going to be talking about this episode. I am Corey. I am joined by the very special edition, the Steelbook edition. Basher.
You mean the Firefly edition. Thank you very much.
This is a Microsoft show. We do not talk about Sony in a positive light ever.
Well, it's not a positive light. Trust me.
Ever. Microsoft and Bethesda. I find it very strange that like they bought all these companies. Like, was it in the contract that Bethesda was like, all right, we'll be a part of you, but we still want to be like, you still have to say like Microsoft and Bethesda. Like that had to be in the contract, right? Because there's no other reason to say it.
I can see that happening. Absolutely. Right. I mean, because technically it should just be Microsoft.
Right. Microsoft owns them. And like they're talking about the, you know, the Blizzard buyout, if it goes through, which let's face it, it will. Like that, they're not going to be like Microsoft, Bethesda, and Activision. No, there's, it's just, so why does Bethesda get special treatment? I don't understand. We are here to talk about what would have been Microsoft's most likely E3 presentation. E3 is officially coming back next year, but this year there was nothing. So as publishers are abandoning E3 left and right, Microsoft is, I believe Phil Spencer is actually on the ESA board, which is the company that owns E3. So maybe that's why they're still always supporting it, as well as doing a little showcase right around the time it would have been E3. Capcom did one as well. Sony did something a couple weeks ago. Rumor is Sony's doing something big at the end of the year. So Capcom showed off a lot of cool stuff. But we are here, Microsoft, Bethesda. Before that, let us know what you thought about the presentation. 574-651-9256 or gpopfans@gmail.com. Let's break down, in my opinion, this very strange but still compelling presentation for Microsoft and Bethesda. We're not doing the thing that most podcasts do where we, let's go over every single thing that was announced. No, we're just going to talk about the things that stood out to us and give our overall, how we feel about how it went. So what's the number one thing from this presentation that stood out to you? It doesn't have to be a game, maybe the format, but what's the first thing that you think about when I say, what'd you think about this presentation?
I think about how sort of, I feel like you just picked up my entire traffic noise in the background just now.
I didn't, actually.
You didn't? Oh. I feel like, honestly, perhaps I'm just old and jaded, but I feel like Bethesda never needs its own show again. I don't. And that's not to say Bethesda makes bad games or I don't like Bethesda. It's just if their overall, especially the way they ended on, what was it?
Starfield.
I just felt like the innovation is just no longer there with them. So I saw some good stuff, and I saw some all right stuff, and I saw some mess stuff. But at the end of the day, my overall feeling was this big Bethesda buyout really, I think it would have hit a lot harder 12 years ago, right before like a New Vegas or something, as opposed to now where we've seen kind of most of these games before.
Yeah, it's my overall feeling like coming off of it, we talked about this beforehand and I was like, I think this is the year they need to blow it out, right? Like It's been years since they started this buyout spree, you know, since they bought Ninja Theory, since they bought Playground Games. And, like, we know Playground's working on Fable. We know Ninja Theory's working on Hellblade. Like, we don't really know what Double Fine's doing because they were doing Psychonauts. Like, we know State of Decay. Like, we know a lot. But there's also a lot we didn't know. There's a lot of teams that have shipped something in the past couple years. Like, I was like, but this is the year, right? Like, you don't have any competition really right now in terms of the field, in terms of giving a presentation. So, like, show us what we're doing. But instead, they took the exact opposite of my obviously well-educated opinion. And they just like, we're just going to focus on the next 12 months, which it makes sense from a strategy standpoint. And there's a couple different things that, like, and we've said this before many times, it's like, it's, you really have to start thinking about Xbox as Xbox. You have to think about Xbox as Game Pass. Like, that is what they are selling you. Is you already know you can buy an Xbox and you'll get most of the third party games. You'll get Resident Evil 4 Remake. Like, you can get that game. It won't be on Game Pass, but you can get that game. So the chances are is if you already have an Xbox and you want that game, you'll either buy it or you'll wait for it on Game Pass, you know, etc. But the only thing they really need to sell you on is Game Pass, because everyone else is like, Capcom is going to advertise Resident Evil 4. Microsoft is going to advertise Forza to you, but they're also going to advertise, like, they can advertise all of the stuff that they want to and make more money off of Game Pass instead of just advertising Resident Evil 4 to you again, kind of thing. So, like, from a strategy standpoint, as a Game Pass subscriber, like, I wasn't blown away by any means, but, like, for the next 12 months, as long as all these games do hit their ship date, and Diablo's 4 is still the big question mark, because if Diablo 4 is not on Game Pass right now, but if that deal closes before whenever that game is supposed to come out, that's going to be on there, right? Like, duh. As a Game Pass player, I'm like, okay, like, there's a lot of cool stuff coming. Like, there's some stuff that I didn't know about. There's some stuff that I did know about, like Silksong being a game, Hollow Knight Silksong being a game one, day one Game Pass game. Amazing. I freaking love Hollow Knight. Awesome. 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 I knew that game was coming, though. And we knew Starfield was coming. And we knew Redfall was coming. But, like, it really, whenever you, I can say, like, okay, I'm seeing almost every game here. I'm already know that I'm at least going to most likely check out because I'm a subscriber. It's really good. But it just, I was not blown away by anything in the slightest. Like,
you know what?
Nothing, and nothing blew me away.
I completely agree. And as far as I kind of put that maybe unfair caveat of we've seen all of it before, because one game that I would have been excited for years ago would have been, I think it's called Aura. It basically looks like Civilization.
Yeah, Aura, A-R-A, yeah.
And, you know,
which I believe that that's the, like, the original creator of Civilization left 2K to make that game.
It's the same game. Guys, it's the same game.
Right.
Like right. And if it's not, you didn't show me anything that says it's not. Civ 6 is well supported. And still putting hours into that. So a new Civ is, although exciting, although good to see, is not exciting per se. I will say I do like how they're using Game Pass to break into the Japanese market or the Asian market. I think it's a good tool to get more of the Asian market on board, especially if you're going to reach out and make deals with teams like Atlus. I mean, like, that's the big hitter over there. So more Personas, more
Wulong.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that looks cool enough, I guess. But definitely more Personas, more your strategy RPGs, more your Disgaeas, more your just a lot of those. Like, if I mean, once they start bringing in Tales of series and stuff like that over, like, it's going to be, I think, a really good play for the Asian market. Like, just because if you're not buying a Xbox now, they might finally jump on board over a PlayStation, because the same reason we jumped on board here is you can play all those games just at one flat rate,
right? And it's Microsoft in Japan and Asian markets in general, like, they've always had a rocky relationship. Like, Microsoft during the 360 era really pushed, you know, they got Final Fantasy 13 on the platform. They had that deal with Square Enix for, like, Infinite Undiscovery and Last Remnant. Like, they've really tried, but it just never took off for them, kind of thing. And that's because it's the Xbox customer is not one that you know, Microsoft gets dunked on for having the same three franchises, Forza, Gears, Halo, but like that's what their customer likes kind of thing. You know, not people still bought Final Fantasy 13, but not nearly as many as the people that bought a PlayStation. So like I look at something like Final Fantasy 16 being exclusive to PlayStation 5, and like when that announcement happened, people were like, oh man, like that's rough. I'm like, no, I think it makes sense. Like I played Final Fantasy 15 on Xbox. I think I'm the only person I know that did that though. And I did that simply for achievements. Like, that's it. And I have to imagine I'm not alone in that. I am alone in that.
It's really not that big of a deal because that's just one large franchise that isn't. And where you make your bread and butter off the Japanese RPGs is when you get the accumulation in multiple. Right. Franchises like losing Final Fantasy is not a big deal, and I don't think it ever will be. But again, if they can get more of the Tales games, more of the Sky games, more of the Persona games, more of the Legend of Hero games, like get all those B level, even C level RPGs on a Game Pass, and I think you can run the gamut over there.
The Persona announcement to me is a. I don't want to say it's a big one. Like it is a big one because like finally, right? Like it was always strange that there was, cause they did like that Persona of, like fighting game. I think it's
Arena, Royale, whatever it is. Arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Royale. Yeah. And like, but they didn't like Persona 3, 4 or 5 wasn't on Xbox. Like it was always, it was such a strange thing that they would put these spinoff games, but the main franchise was never there. So like, I'm sure this has been forever in the making. Atlus isn't a huge team. So like ports are not obviously as intensive as a, you know, a new game or anything like that, but they still take time and money, you know? So I'm assuming that the Game Pass deal is really what kind of forced it. Of being like, look, we're going to pay you up front to put these, you know, to put this stuff on there. So I think it'll be interesting to see going forward. Because I believe Persona 6 is basically going to be announced soon, or it has been announced, something like that. Like they're doing some type of, it's around the corner. And it doesn't seem to be a secret kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see if that ends up coming to Xbox, day in and day out, kind of, or day in and day. And so I don't care about Persona, but I know that's a huge series. But then again, like it's like it's not the new stuff. Like Persona 5 Royal is there.
I feel personally attacked when you said that.
Personally, but like you've already played these games, right? Like,
well, not if you're an Xbox fan.
I
think it's absolutely huge if you're an Xbox fan.
I don't know enough about them. I don't know about Persona, but like, is it a problem? Like, I don't think it is, but it's not a problem that the first two aren't there, right? Like, they each kind of stand on their own, correct?
Absolutely, and they don't run into each other. The Shin Megami Tensei series, those are a bit more linear in a way, but for the most part they're almost like Final Fantasies. Like they don't have anything to do with each other, so like you don't need to play their earlier ones.
Maybe I'm talking to my butt on that one. Like to me it just feels like it's too, I don't want to say it's too late, but it feels like it just took forever. But maybe not, you know, maybe it doesn't really matter when it happens. You know, Game Pass has proven that things can find a audience way after you think they should, so it'll be interesting to see how that does. But so like, you know, like I said, I wasn't blown away by anything. Some stuff looks really cool. And again, like it's cool that most of this stuff I'll be able to play on Game Pass day one. But I have to look at, you know, I still am very perplexed of what is happening over there at Microsoft. Like they bought all these studios. And like you said, I don't understand why Bethesda's getting this call out of, like, yes, okay, Skyrim is one of the best-selling games of all time. Like, I'm never going to not give that game its roses. But why are we looking at them as being, like, this upper echelon of developer when their most recent releases, especially from Bethesda, being Fallout 76, and you can do the whole, like, oh, it's a different team, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. They still put that game out. It was on fire. Like, they haven't been batting well from the Bethesda standpoint in a while. But like Bethesda, with Bethesda came, you know, Machine Games and the Doom IP and the Wolfenstein IP and the Raid. Like there's a lot of other things that came with it. But I don't, like, does Bethesda really need to talk about Wolfenstein 3? Like, no, just you own Machine Games, make them talk about it. It's a super weird thing that I just don't understand, because look, Starfield looks cool, but I don't think I'm alone in saying that, like, it looks like a Bethesda game.
Yeah. I mean, like, it looking at that trailer really highlights how
formulaic,
right? That too, how developers develop in a bubble.
Right.
And when you get too deep into these 4, 5, 6 year cycles, you can't change course. So this game for them is truly a spiritual successor in the Elder Scrolls series. However, since then, we've had The Witcher 3 and other games that look exactly like this game.
Mass Effect? Like,
yeah, like seriously.
Like, yeah. Like, No Man's Sky did the planets thing. Like, I'm not trying to undersell it, but
I definitely am, because the promises of, especially in Todd Howard, but the promises of these games are so...
They're too big.
They're like, too big, so vanilla and pre-written. Like, you see all these things, you can go there. We have so many places you can go. And that's how you know they develop in a bubble. And because our biggest concern as gamers is, yeah, but what's over there?
Right. Which again, this might be a bubble thing. Like, we care about that, but does the person they're trying to sell Game Pass to really care about it? Like, they're going to see it as like, okay, I was going to play Starfield, the next Bethesda game, spend $70 on it, or I can just spend $10 and play it. You know, like, to get that size of a scope of a game for $10 a month, the business proposition or the consumer proposition is still insane. So, oh, like,
absolutely, without a doubt.
Right. But it's like... Am I crazy? Like, have we peaked? Like, has gaming peaked?
Oh, that was my, after seeing the PlayStation show, which was horrid, and watching this show, which was just fine. I truly think that we are being
like we
cheated in a way, because when the new consoles came, when the new generation, not even this generation, the previous generation, when that previous generation came through, we were promised a huge advancement in not just graphics, but everything from processing capabilities to AI, improvement. Yet here I am playing Elden Ring, and the tracking is from the enemies is still dumb. It really highlights for me how I am as a gamer. I'm becoming more and more franchise based. So when the show opened up, surprisingly for me, with a bunch of League of Legends stuff coming in,
right?
Honestly, surprised to see that, but however, at the same time, delighted to see it, because I wanted to jump back in the league. I just needed a reason, you know. And the other game that, like I said, that kind of piqued my attention was Aura, and that's because I like Civ 6. I don't think there was a brand new IP that really did something new. Like, Flintlock looked good.
Yeah, that looked... It didn't look good, like visually. But it looked fun. And that's... And I'm trying to decide if it's a me thing, or if it's like, are more people feeling this way of just like... I'm not blown away by anything, but like, have we just sort of reached a point or a moment in gaming history where it's just like, we're sort of stagnant on games taking that leap forward? Like, is the leap forward, instead of it being graphically or visually or mechanics based, is it the fact that everything's a game as a service? Like, is that the actual leap forward this time around? And are we stuck in that everything's got to be a part of everything, you know? And I feel like that's what's happening, is that instead of games being more, the scope being widened, it's all about being a service now.
I mean,
about content and keeping you on the treadmill versus being bigger. And so like, and I look at them, you know, showing off Starfield, and we sound like such old men right now. I'm an actual old man.
So that tracks.
this doesn't look bad. Like, I'm going to play Starfield and I'm probably going to have a good time with it, but it really does look like Fallout in space. Like,
that's exactly what it is.
It's hard to be super excited about it.
By the end of that trailer, my first thought was I didn't see anything innovative. Not a single thing innovative. And I'm not saying you have to bleed every single iteration needs to be so innovative, but when you take this much time in between your games and you're this team that does this thing, it'd be like if GTA 6 finally came out and it was just GTA 5.
You don't see the advancement, you know, or anything. Yeah.
Give Rockstar credit for when that GTA 6 drops, it's probably going to be a world different than what you've seen before. Whereas, I don't see what really is there new besides they showed off crafting, like you couldn't craft before in these games. They showed off like the very acceptable, expected combat that we've grown to know and not appreciate so much anymore. Then we've seen, then they show off base building, which was in Fallout 4.
Yeah. So it was terrible.
I guess the way to innovate was you could build a spaceship and fly it. Well, that's cool. Where am I flying it to? Thousands of planets. Okay, then now I'm out because I. There's no way you can put unique content worth going to on thousands of planets. It's just
right, and that's I think that's where, as we're speaking, like I guess we're starting to see through the BS more and more of these claims, and like so when you see these big AAA games and they're claiming, like I look at something like Cyberpunk and it's like, oh man, there's thousands of different things that you can do, and then when the game hits, you're just kind of like eh, like. You know, like that game was an exception where it was just totally on fire, you know. But I think it's just becoming more and more common for or easier for us to just look at a game and know whether or not they're lying or not, kind of thing. And that's why, like, you know, I want to get into more positivity here because we've been dogging on it for like 20 minutes now. But like, I was not blown away by anything. However, there was some standouts for me, and one being Forza. Like, Turn 10 is secretly their best studio. Like, they are engine masters, and for a long time, they pumped out those Forza games every other year, and they were always super solid. Like, every once in a while, there was something they did that upset the community, but from a gameplay and from a content standpoint, they were always super solid. And we haven't had one since 2017. So that coming out, and that looks stunning. Like, it's easily the best looking thing that they've done.
It didn't do anything for me. I'm going to be the bitter one in this podcast or every podcast. It's a racing game. Like I'm going to put an hour into it and then completely jump off of it. Like those games don't have any kind of end game for me.
Yeah, which is fine. Like that is. From a non-simulation fan, like that makes sense. Like I don't think there's anything about it that's going to pull anyone in.
But at the same time, I grew up on my Gran Turismo.
When's the last time you played a sim racer?
Forza or Gran Turismo?
Those are the only two. It's been at least 5 years because there hasn't been one.
But let's not pretend they're different.
Sure. That's like saying third-person shooters aren't different. Anyways, point is, I will push back and say, visually, you cannot say that did not look stunning.
Oh, no. Of course it is. It's a racing game.
Right. But even from a racing game perspective, like a game that's going to run at 60 frames per second, have ray tracing, time of day, realistic simulations, like from a tech perspective, like with most racing games, it looks stunning.
I'm very happy for Forza fans.
Exactly. That's the best sentiment that I can say is like, as a Forza fan, I'm excited about Forza, not just because it's been the first time we've had one in a long time, but like they legitimately looks like they took that time off and did something with it. The engine looks phenomenal. And I also want to point out, what was it called? High on Life. Like when that trailer first showed up and it was like the guns talking to him and like it's a first person shooter and it's got the co-creators of Rick and Morty, like I was just like, I don't know, but that's the kind of stuff on Game Pass I want to see. Like, it looks really unique, it looks visually good, and it looks fun. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I've sort of given up on being like blown away by a demo, but instead I'm just like, this just looks fun. And those two games are really like the only ones that like stood out to me, other than Silksong, but it's a sequel, so you kind of know what it is. And that game was announced like 4 years ago, but like those are the two games that really stood out to me. And then I'm also looking forward to Pentiment because I'm a huge fan of Obsidian in general. And so a fully narrative based game coming from Obsidian this year that we didn't know about is pretty cool. But that's really, I mean, Diablo 4, obviously too, like it's Diablo. So it's going to be good, right?
Maybe. Well, it will be after season after one.
But it's, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I honestly, when it comes to Game Pass, I've realized after watching their show that I'm a bigger fan of their smaller stuff. The stuff that they don't really showcase. The stuff that I kind of have to find that they drop day one stealthily. Because I can look at something like a Forza and objectively say it looks good. This the same with most of Bethesda stuff. However, truly, just none of, like, I was more excited to play League again. Like,
right? Yeah.
And, like, and maybe it's because it's the devil I know. You know, because Diablo looks really good. I love the art style in this one.
Yeah, like it legitimately looks like,
it looks visceral, it looks fun, it looks right. It looks heavy, weighty, like it looks like they right. put some
it looks like the game that we all asked for.
Exactly. Like, right.
Right. Like, it looks like the true sequel to Diablo 2, which is what everyone wanted, kind of thing.
Exactly. So, you said a more Diablo 2, which none of you bought. So it's like,
I did, but then they put a cap on the server and I couldn't play it.
Are you serious? Oh, geez,
yeah, man. That totally happened. Let's continue.
I can objectively look at Diablo, but again, it's the old man in me. It's the pessimist in me with the way these studios are ran now. I know right. that first year is going to be pay to win. Like, they're gonna bring back the auction house in a way that's predatory. People are going to complain, still put the money into it. 12 months later, they'll quote unquote fix it. And then it'll be that game we wanted it to be. So I'm looking forward to that game, but not really day one. I'm looking at something like Overwatch.
I'm still going to be there day one. I don't. Diablo is like the closest thing to Doom to me. It's just like, I will put off life to check out Diablo for that first week. Like,
I will say also, I do appreciate that Overwatch 2 is free to play.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It should be, though, after what they've shown. Like,
yeah, it was when they first announced that game, it was super weird. They were just like, well, the Overwatch 2 PvE mode is like the new mode, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about. But the multiplayer will be coming to everyone. And it's just like, so you're really only paying for the PvE mode, which doesn't make any sense. Like, why? Like, if I already own Overwatch, what are the chances that I really only want the PvE mode? Also, does that mean it's going to be a full price? So, like, then free to play is the right answer. And I have to assume that's because of the Microsoft buyout. Like, I have to assume that that's going to help them because of the Game Pass thing, but also as well as the free to play kind of thing. And so you're going to be able to give Game Pass members, you know, skins and all that fun stuff to help people play, you know, keep their eyes on it kind of thing. So a lot of people seem to be upset with that announcement because they're worried it's going to be pay to win. As much as I'm not an Overwatch fan, Overwatch was never pay to win. They're one of the few things. The loot boxes were bullcrap in terms of drop rates, but pay to win and Overwatch do not go in the same sentence.
Right. So. That's going to be purely cosmetic, which as it should be.
Right.
I'll probably jump back into it for a couple of weeks and bounce back out of that as well. I think Scorn looks interesting.
Yeah, that game actually does look, it looks better than I thought it was going to. That's for sure. Like the first gameplay trailer they showed like 2 years ago, maybe it was last year. It looked like it was a first person game that had no goal. You know, it was just like, what if we made an Alien game? Like, I was like, okay, like it looks like Alien, that's cool. But that new trailer looks cool. Like that might end up being a good, I don't say sleeper hit, but a good pickup for them. That game was announced originally in 2020, with the, like that was a big one for Microsoft saying like, hey, this is a game, a day one game. And keep in mind, this game also got delayed out of last year into this year. This game was supposed to be out last October, I believe. And this time it's coming out this October. So they've been working on it for quite a long time.
I'm hoping that's a good sign. I'd rather you take time to cook it up in the kitchen than push it out before it's actually ready.
Yeah, for sure. And then As Dusk Falls. That is my kind of game, narrative driven, you know, Walking Dead style. I'm into those games. I know you are not. I'm still probably gonna make you play it, but that seems like a good pickup. Like, again, we were negative on just like not being blown away and sort of confused by Microsoft's strategy in terms of like buying these studios. But as Game Pass customers, it's already June, you know, like, and a lot of the stuff is coming this year, and it's like, okay, like, and this is not the only stuff coming to Game Pass. There's going to be other stuff that drops that we're not, you know, I won't say prepared for, but that we don't know about that we're going to try out and play. So as a Game Pass customer, I'm happy with it. But as from someone who has watched this industry grow and become what it is, I'm just kind of like, in terms of being blown away, like, it's super weird. The only focusing on games for the next 12 months almost felt desperate because they have announced stuff like Fable, Perfect Dark, Halo, not Reach, what's it called? Infinite still doesn't have co-op mode. Like, there's so many of those studios that we don't know what they're doing, and some of the stuff they announced, and it's just gone radio silent. And Fable was announced in, what, 2020? We know absolutely nothing about it still. Like, where is that game? Where is Perfect Dark? Where's Hellblade? Hellblade was announced in 2019. Like, where is that game? And so, to me, it's just like them focusing on the next 12 months was them just being like, stop asking about these games because they're clearly not coming out in the next 12 months. So, see you next holiday.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, overall, this showcase made me optimistic in the sense that they were able to showcase so many different kinds of genres of games. I think that is what really interested me the most, is that they really covered a lot of their bases. Like, they have a game for literally everybody coming out in the next 12 months, and I think that's the most important thing. They're not really relying on just the one or two franchises like they used to. That said, the big franchises that they are relying on just don't impress me anymore. I'm just not looking forward to the bigger titles.
Yeah, and that's the part that I'm confused about. Again, is just what are they doing over there? We'll see. You know, again, there's always next year. Again, I want to read it. Game Pass, as a Game Pass member, I'm excited, but from a industry standpoint, it's very confusing of what they are actually doing. So, so looking forward to that. Like I said, let's just to give you everyone a couple dates on this of what's happening. Amber Heard is apparently going to be recast. Didn't know that. And Aquaman. So
I doubt that.
No, it's confirmed apparently.
What?
Yeah, Persona. So Persona's coming this year. Cocoon will be coming next year. Diablo 4 is next year. Grounded is going into 1.0 this year. Pentiment is this year. Dusk as Falls is this year. Flintlock is next year. Scorn is this year. So like, there's a lot coming this year. And so we're going to be looking forward to that. Forza is the one that, like, if I had to pick one game, it's going to be Forza. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. Obviously, Redfall and Skyrim. Wow. Starfield are coming next year. So, but there you go. That's our reactions. We're a little jaded, clearly, but I think as a showcase, like I said, it wasn't bad as a Game Pass customer, but as a Microsoft person, it's just kind of like, eh, like I'm confused where those big AAA franchises that they've talked about and announced, they bought all these studios. Where are those games, man? Oh, what is taking so long?
Or just the cool double A games. Right. The big double A game of the showcase was Plague Tale 2. And I'm still confused as why people love that first one.
Yeah, we are really on the minority on that one. People love that first game.
I see that.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it. I liked some ideas of it, but I thought it was way too long. And I thought it overstood its welcome. But maybe it's just wrong place, wrong time. You know, maybe I need to go back to it and try to revisit it.
I'm not doing that. I'm going all in on Aura. That's my game. That's my game of show. There you go. I'm a big fan.
Aura, I don't think they had a date on that one.
They said next 12 months, didn't they?
Yeah. But they didn't. I don't think they put even a year on that one. I think it was... Yeah, all it says is join the Insider program today. So I'm guessing that's a 2023 game. If it was 2022, they probably would have said it. So but there you go. Let us know what your favorite game of the show was. Maybe you think Starfield looks amazing. Maybe you think we're too jaded. Let us know. 574-651-9256. GPopFans@gmail.com. In terms of the future, we're going to be having an episode coming out on a game that I'm totally blanking on the title right now. It was the side-scrolling... Legends of the Fall. No.
Yudia? What are you talking about?
Yes, that one. What's that game called?
Yudia Chronicles.
That one. We got an episode coming on that. I am playing Chorus, and I'm going to make Basher play that, so that way we can talk about it. Anything out that you are digging or anything that you're or even playing that
well,
you want
to... Well, I still got a couple of games under my belt. So I still got Chinatown Detective. I'm also playing through the name of that game just left my head. It's the Wild West thing that just
Weird
came
West?
Out. Weird West, yes.
I've been interested in that one. I have not played it though. Maybe we'll have to tag team that one.
So yeah, I'm definitely there's definitely a lot of good stuff on there. Which again, the show
That's the point.
The shows they the showcase, the games they showed, I personally was not very interested in. However, there's a lot that drops every other week that's just great to play. So
right. Again, as Game Pass customers, satisfied. As Microsoft, like, where's the big titles? Confused. So and for that reason, it was very confusing. Also, why is there a Slipknot and Smite crossover?
See, that's more your people's thing, so I thought maybe you could tell me.
No, what? Stop. Just stop what you're... Stop it right now. Whoever did this, stop it. I hate you. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll be back next week with that game, Illudian Chronicles, which I will never understand the name of. And then after that, we're going to be having either some Chorus or some whatever Basher playing. We will see you next time.
Good day, sirs.